Oh, that's the wrong camera. There we are. Hi. No, just Gabe, start the show.
Hello. Welcome to Star Citizen Live.
Who are you?
I'm Gabriel Hector.
And what do you do?
I'm a systems designer at the Manchester office for CIG.
And you're going to host this week's show?
Yeah, that's the plan. So, Jared, who are you and what do you do at Cloud Imperium Games?
Oh, thanks, Gabe. I'm Jared. I don't know what I'm in charge of. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Star Citizen Live. We're by ourselves today. David, who you sometimes hear me shout out to, is feeling under the weather today. So we've set up, we've literally moved the control stuff over here. So I have to do everything for the show. So we'll see how it goes. The last time I did this, was the Big Invictus All Vehicles Roundtable last year. And I managed to pull that off. There were more people. So yeah, it should be fine. Hi, welcome to Star Citizen Live. I'm Jared. This is the show at the end of the week where we grab a bunch of our developers and we take your questions, we put them to them and they answer their question, your questions, and we learn all about this wonderful project we're working on, Star Citizen. Joining us on the show this week are esteemed members of the UI feature team. We've got Gabe, we've got Bone, we've got Zane, and we've got Emily. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
So, Gabe, you've already done your intro. You're not technically on the UI team, but you know you're a designer, system designer on the PU and squadron teams. You know, you help.
Yeah, and I have a lot of focus on UI features all over the place. I've got my finger in everything, and I'm annoying these guys a lot.
So, Bone, we'll start with you. Tell everybody who you are and what you do for Star Citizen.
Hello, I'm David Bone Gill. Everyone calls me Bone, as I may have mentioned before. I'm a technical director for the UI on Star Citizen and Squadron 42.
Okay. Zane, tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Hi, I'm Zane. I'm a UI developer, programmer, designer. I don't really know really what my title is at any given time. I'm supposed to be on core tech, but I not really haven't touched that in a while. So I just do everything. And I've been lately working on the map system.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you and I are in the running for the most number of titles that we've had in the time here. That it's constantly trying to figure out exactly where we fit in.
It's just my ambition to want to do everything. So,
Bone, tell us who Emily is.
Oh, blimey. Oh.
No, Emily, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Emily. I'm a UI programmer, predominantly at the moment, working on the star map. So, yeah, that's pretty much me.
Yeah, we are out of cameras. We need more cameras for more people. We're gonna try to upgrade the show here in a little bit. All right, so we took questions from the community. We put them on, or we put a thread up on Spectrum. We gathered questions. We let you guys go through and pull the questions. We're just gonna jump right into it because it's really hard for me to do all the multitasking stuff. All right, so right off the bat, first question. Will we be able to select start zoom? We will be able to select start zoom of map. Okay, if I'm in the pilot seat, I would like it to start zoomed out in the system map. But if I'm standing in my ship, I would like it zoomed in on the world map. So basically, can they set different zoom levels as default based on what situation they're in?
I think we agreed so much with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually been working on this week. Yeah, so now you will be able to sit in the ship and you're open the star map and it'll open to the star map. And if you are anywhere else, it will open to the interior map if you have an interior map. We've also started the star map out further now. So when it will like zoom back out. So you get like a view of the sort of system that you're in a little bit more rather than being like face up with a planet's texture. Another thing I've added is a keybind so that if you're in the star map, you can just press that and go straight into the interior map. We don't have the other way yet, but we have that way. So yeah, so it's hopefully going to work a lot more smoothly now and you can be in the context you actually want to be in.
That sounds very cool. I think before we jump in here, there's going to be a lot of conversation about, you know, iterative development. There's this assumption that when a thing comes out, it's everything all at once. And anybody who's been paying attention to the development of Star Citizen over the years knows that that's not how it works. This is the next group of things, the group of features, the next functionality we can do. And then it will continue to evolve and iterate on subsequent patches. So we'll hear some variation of that answer quite a bit tonight. Question two, do you plan to add filters on the interior maps and star maps so we can easily find specific POI?
So yeah, this is obviously something that we do want. So it's in the designs, it's in the documents. It's not maybe the top priority right now. We need to get this stuff just working as good as possible, and then we'll just have to prioritize after that.
Obviously not an extensive list, but what kind of filters off the top of your head were you thinking about?
So it's essentially what you see as the amenities. So for anyone who's been playing the PTU, you've seen that now that when you use the star map, you can click a location and then you get a list of amenities there. So you can see, oh, I can buy ships here. So essentially we would reverse that and you could say, I want to buy a ship. Where can I do that? Rather than having to go through every single place and then see, oh, I can buy a ship there. So it's going to make it way nicer. But yeah.
I mean, the other thing for like the interior maps, like it's pretty much just showing like room labels and stuff. But like in the future, we're going to have a lot more amenities that are pointed out on it, like icons depicting like here's where you buy weapons, here's where you retrieve your ship or whatever it is that's going to be useful, then, you know, we'll have filters based on those categories. But that's in the future. We need to do some more kind of back-end work for that.
Yeah, I imagine, you know, many of these features that are coming in 3.23 were first developed for Squadron and then are being brought over to the PU. And the PU requires a lot of additional functionality that perhaps Squadron, doesn't. You know, Squadron's, this big sprawling single player game, but it is a single player game in a massively multiplayer persistent universe with multiple star systems and stuff. There are far more considerations that need to be taken. So yeah, this first version will go in. It'll have a lot of limited functionality and then it will continue to evolve.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that we've added on as part of this process of bringing it over from Squadron, where it was this thing that was suited for Squadron specifically, and then it goes into Star Citizen, and it immediately needs so much more. So what started out as just move it into Star Citizen has become quite a task, but I think
I guess in that respect, it's also accelerated the robustness, like for the maps, for example. It's the fact that we need to get it in PU and working all properly with all the different systems it's also going to go back into Squadron as well. It's not just Squadron going into PU. It's also very all the stuff that we've done is very general, and so it'll also benefit Squadron as well.
That's good. That's not a point we often. Oh, look, wow, David, why don't we use this? Sorry, I just discovered a toy. Usually it's David at this thing. No, you make a good point. The work on these features, you know, like I said, all the work for Squadron serves the PU, but like it did before and like it will continue to do, this work will still funnel back up the stream, back into Squadron and stuff. Mm-hmm. So Bo Discovered Technology says, I discovered fun thing. Look at this. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being easily amused. Those people are generally happier than most others. Okay, we've got several questions about pins. One of the more exciting aspects that we reveal is that you can finally, set pinpoints, markers on the verse. First question is, will our map pinpoint markers that we drop be persistent if we log out and log back in the next day?
That's definitely the plan, yeah. But there's a lot of back-end work that we need to look into, and especially with server meshing coming in. So a thing that happened for the 3.23 work that we've been doing is that we started talking about, okay, we want to get these pins in as part of the star map now, and you should be able to place them and share them with people and all of that jazz. But then we looked into it and, well, it was quite hard to do and we're getting server meshing. So everything's going to change and it just wouldn't work with the future.
The technical challenge is immense. It like the pin itself, like drawing a pin on the map, fine.
Yeah.
Persisting it and in this sort of super complicated structure that we have is tricky. Tricky to say the least.
That's not to say we won't work on it.
Oh no, we're working on it. Yes, it's just it's not that straightforward.
Jenny? No? Okay. Sorry. will we be able to share the locations that we save from the star map with other players?
Yeah, for sure. That's part of the vision again. So you should be able to share the... So we can see in 323, you can place the markers on the area map. And in the future, you should be able to place them on the star map. And those should be the same kind of thing. You have a list of all your markers that you placed, and you should be able to share them with your party and so on. But it will, as I just said, we will need to look into the tech of it and see how that actually works out.
And then last of the... Oh, no, that's Bone. See, playing with the toys. Will we be able to set pins in space?
I think that's kind of answered now, but yes. So star map, area map, place the pins wherever you...
Oh, like in like an arbitrary bit of space.
Yeah, like just... And yeah, hopefully it doesn't break gameplay if we allow players to just actually quantum travel there. That's something we'll also have to look into. But that would be kind of neat. Place a marker, go there.
Just bring a trap.
Meet up.
All right. Okay, I'm going to play a little bit. Sorry, listen to the words. The words are what matter. What progress has been made on UI elements to assist with landing ships from the first-person pilot seat view? For example, have we considered holographic extensions of the landing pad or hangar door boundaries, ATC flight tunnels, landing cameras, directional proximity sensors, alerts, radar LiDAR scan, MFDs, pilot's visors? Like, we've had a couple different things over the course of our development. Where are we going?
Yes.
Look right into the camera and say yeah.
Yes.
Do you want to elaborate?
Oh, no.
Thank you. Emily might have some answers.
I was just stealing her thunder a little.
Yeah, so there are a lot of like plans and a lot of thoughts that we have. We obviously want to have like use the AR sort of space for markers, have like if you're going into a hangar, have like a gate bracket so that you sort of know the bounds of where you're trying to go, a like ladder sort of system so you have like a guide to where you're trying to go, and then also we want to make use of the radar display that you have as well to actually utilize the area map tech again to display your ship and like the ground underneath you, and then obviously if you have a landing pad it will show you your landing pad, and if you don't have a landing pad and you're just trying to land anywhere it'll have like a line with a shadow kind of thing, and it will sort of guide you to whether you can land there, you know, whether it's flat enough, that kind of thing. So these are the sorts of things that we're thinking about doing.
And that'll tie into how we want to show terrain and things like that in our map system, because that's, you know, I want that to be a thing.
Are there any challenges with that presented by the server meshing and everything? I mean, obviously most times your landing stuff will just be there where you're at, but is there any, you know, like how far out can you go? Is there other concerns that, you know, you won't be able to read parts in another shard or whatever? No? You don't want to look? Nope. Like,
okay. That's the thing we always find out in the last moment.
Well, I mean, like the geometry for planets and stuff is streamable, but yeah, when you start talking about being able to see other players, you know, other locations and stuff, and whether they're exactly on your server and all this kind of stuff, that's the stuff that gets complicated.
But the interesting thing to mention is when we do account for, like in our map system, when we do account for things not always being streamed in, and you know, maybe the spaceport on the other side of the city isn't streamed in so you can't like really see it or whatnot. And if when we make that work across the board, regardless of streaming, the map should work regardless of whether things are streamed in or not. It should be totally independent of the entities that are existing. It opens us up to like look at maps of far away places anywhere that we've cataloged them. So if you're on another planet, you can see, you know, you might be able to see the map of what you've explored and not even be there.
Okay, cool.
So that's an interesting like byproduct of that, but that it opens up, but no, yeah. Two benefits in one.
So, sorry, Chad doesn't notice. Yes, I'm playing. Let me have this. I don't usually have the control. All right, so we had six questions, important questions, but you know, relatively softballs, if you will. The big question here, that I think most people have wanted to know. Not going to sugarcoat it. What's up with the UI being so holographic it can become unreadable at some times? What's up with that? What's going on?
More. We want more.
More holographic.
Just no. Put it all on there. Make it worse. I hope everyone saw the my phone 900 years in the future meme. That was a good one. It was very holographic. Yes. So I think
we have a line to tread.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So we want it to look cool, right? But we want to be able to use it at the same time. So there's a balance to be had. Like we're not going to release something that looks like a vanilla web page, you know, that's just black on white, black text on white background for the UI.
For sure.
You see, there's the extreme where you've got all this chromatic aberration and bloom and fog and effects and stuff going on, and it's not particularly readable and it's difficult on the eye. So we've got to find a balance where it looks cool and it's diegetic and it's in the world and it looks futuristic, but ultimately very usable. Like you've got to be able to use it and it's not got to be bad on the eyes.
No. And I think with the MobiGlass in particular, because I think that was maybe the worst offender in this case, it's supposed to be this holographic thing. So it got a bit over the top and
we got overexcited.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It can look even cooler. But no, we very much appreciate the feedback. And I think everyone's very happy with the results that we've got now. And it's coming out really well.
But we're still dialing that in
to get the
tone right.
It'll be a continuous process. And there's also some graphical fixes that we've fixed recently as well. Like I think on some of the low res render to texture stuff, there's actually some color correction weirdness going on that the graphics seem to fix. So that's probably going to increase a little bit, like the brightness of some of the elements, because now the colors are consistent between low res and full res render to texture. And there's also some sorting issues that we need to work out into the system with regard to 3D planes and 3D objects. There's sorting issues that, so you know, we've sort of fixed, but in it, right. There's a proper solution. We're going to do post 323.
So it sounds like some of it is technical. Some of it is bugs, things not working the way that they're intended.
Yes.
And then some of it is style. Some of it is pushing to find this happy medium.
Right, finding a balance of good art, but good usability.
Because if there's a 3D plane in the world that's behind another, like the thing that's trying to render a drop shadow over or whatever, it's the thing that's over it, and when it's sorted incorrectly, is you're going to null out any of the benefits of the backdrop or the drop shadow or whatever we put in. So,
and some of the diegetic UIs are in the world, so they receive the same world post-process effects, so like chromatic aberration and the bloom and all these kind of things. So it's trying to combat them sometimes to make things perfectly readable, but they because we're doing a diegetic game, because these things in the world, you can't just sort of say, hey, don't apply these effects, because it would look really, really strange. It would look really out of place and like a game, rather than like a game as in like just putting stuff on it over the top of the screen after you've rendered the game world. We're not really after that kind of look. It's meant to look like it's part of the scene. So these, you know, kiosks or even the MobiGlass are part of the game world.
What I'm looking at the chat here while you folks are talking. I want to stay on this topic for a little bit longer. Some of the folks in chat, not just chat today, but you know, I've seen YouTube comments and Spectrum comments and stuff. The common suggestion is, why don't you just start with readability and then add style later? You know, and dial up. Well, it's this idea of start with a base and then build on top of it, instead of the sculptor approach, which start with all this and then start peeling back. There are benefits to both ways. Why do we do it the way we do it?
I think we do start with readability, but it's internally, right? That's not what the players get to see first, because we make our wireframe designs and we make it like, okay, this is what this MobiGlass app is doing and this is how we want to interact with it. And that's all fine. So let's move on to the art pass. And then it's more, where can we get the coolness factor into this? And I think it's good that we're not like ashamed of that. And also that we can dial it back when we've done something wrong, when we've gone overboard. But I think we do have a strong like visual identity with all of these different sci-fi styles and different brand styles and so on. And yeah, we are doing a good job of really pushing for that, for keeping that consistent and making it feel like a coherent world where all of these things exist. And yeah, sometimes it makes for a lesser user experience, and that's obviously not great, and we want to improve that. And that's why we're super happy to get this feedback from players. But we never want to end up in a place where we just remove all the different styles and everything and just go, okay, here's the most legible font in the world, let's just put that right there in the best size, in the best place. Like, yeah, we it's always a balance.
And I think a lot of times it actually can start out like very having like a high level of contrast. So we've done a visual, like an initial visual polish pass on it, and then we'll get very focused on actually doing all the functionality and, you know, like the hollow volume changes to a window, and then, you know, we're doing all the functionality based on that, and we just haven't had a visual polish pass until, you know, the end, because we're focused on sort of the back end, the code and the functionality, like all the really base foundational stuff. And then, you know, pretty much just near the end, we're starting to finally do a much more of the visual polish pass again. So
there's this thing that happens. I don't think I'm telling any story. I don't think I'm going to say something. I don't think it's going to be any surprise to folks who followed the project for the decade. So we worked to the last minute and then beyond. And that's kind of in the RSI CIG DNA at that point. You know, there are lots of projects where you work on a thing and then you stop and you kind of go gold, and then it just kind of sits there for a while. You know, there's bug fixes and stuff. Marketing gets to come in and do their stuff. We put these things out, you know, while they're still being worked on. That's what Evocati is. That's what PTU is, what players are playing right now. Even the live alpha is still alpha. It's still an unfinished product. And I think a lot of times, just because I've seen the reaction sometimes, it's a lot of times this thing goes out and it's like, couldn't we have just another week or two to dial that in before it goes out and stuff? Does that drive you crazy? Is that just part of who we are and stuff like this? We're going off the reservation here a little bit, but talk to me about this. This is a very real phenomenon. It affects everything. Talk to me about how you deal with this.
No, it's for me, it's quite exhilarating in a way, but I always wish there's just one more week. Just let me play around a little bit more with the materials. Let me maybe put some animation in and make it a little more polished. Or, you know, more feedback. Like right now, I need to put in the routing feedback. So when you press R, right now it silently fails, and you're like, why isn't it doing anything? Or so, if you have that, then it's like it's just a little bit, like a small bit that it's one, makes it feel a bit more polished. Better. Yeah, it's 1%. Yeah,
and then when you fix that, there's another thing you think, oh,
exactly.
It'd be cool if we put this in as
issue,
well.
Issue, right? Yeah. It never ends.
There's another thing.
You can always keep improving, yeah. And that's just the process of design, right? So if we kept adding this one more week all the time, we would just be driven insane and nothing would ever release. So,
Jared, yeah, or I make the battery change. I don't know why.
Who's better?
Yours.
Oh, my battery's out?
Yeah, so do you.
Oh, no, never mind. I said a thing, so here, I mean, there's somebody else?
Yeah, Justin. Right. Justin.
That's Pete. Say hi to Pete.
I hear him.
Hey, Pete.
Do you want to pull it
down? Oh, wait, I have a scene for this. Hold on.
Oh, who is that? Who is that? Liam Donnelly says, good riddance. Oh, I'm sorry,
oh,
Liam
wow.
Donnelly. I'm back. Back, sorry. All right. So let's stay on this topic of readability. Obviously, the hologram stuff we just got done talking about. One of the forever discussion points is color stuff, you know, colorblind stuff. Just the, you know, everybody in chat, type drop shadow all at one time right now. Press F for drop shadow. You know, wouldn't a drop shadow just fix everybody, fix everything? Talk to me about readability. What are we doing? What's going on here?
Oh my God. Yeah. Readability, yeah, it's not as straightforward to solve as we thought it would be. We have a constant battle with this, partly to do with exposure compensation. When something's super bright, your eye adapts to that brightness and changes the brightness levels of the scene. Obviously, there's the problems of drawing some coloured text onto a black background, i.e. a starry night, and then all of a sudden you're on a snowy backdrop. How do you compensate for that? We've still got a few more irons in the fire, especially on vehicle hoods, about what we're going to do to solve this and not just drop shadow. I think what we've got on the lens now, on the AR stuff, is really going in the right direction. It's still needs tweaking, but we're pretty happy with that. But we've still got issues with like the head-up display that are on vehicles and the exposure compensation on MFDs we still need to look into. But yeah, it's weirdly tricky. The more diegetic you are, the more you sort of buy into the idea that these things are in world and you're not cheating and you're not just drawing over the top of the screen with some flat UI like you do for I used to work on driving games years and years ago, and like you draw the world and you draw the car and then you draw like a HUD flat over the top, and that would be like crystal clear and you could see your lap time and stuff. Whereas this is entirely different. And the fact, as soon as you put stuff in the world, obviously it's like it can be at angles and the sun can shine on it or a big shadow goes across it. And, you know, even your mobile phone has a lot of exposure compensation to compensate. Not your eyes have exposure compensation, but phones have exposure compensation. So if you bring it out in direct sunlight, it's super bright. And if you get it out like under the covers in bed, it's all dark and stuff. I don't know why you'd be getting out your phone under covers in bed, but maybe that's just me. I might swerve away from this conversation.
But in the future, we do want settings for color blindness, and we do want settings for being able to set font sizes and so on. But that's still...
Accessibility is a completely offshoot of this where, I mean, I think, is it 1 in 12 males have some form of color blindness? And some of the colors we've chosen that don't really work with people that suffer from certain types of color blindness problems.
No, and again, we have all of the different manufacturers and so on, different styles for every ship. So it's like, oh yeah, this ship works great. And then in another one, you didn't at all understand that you were dying or whatever.
You know, I blame the manufacturer.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, yes, we're going to put the settings in that will combat that problem, but also accessibility options for changing the font sizes. This obviously has an impact on the sort of graphic design look that we initially have, but essentially it will become usable for people that have issues reading the font sizes or the particular colors that maybe that manufacturer uses. So yes, 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 and yes again for options to help with people with color blindness or for font size accessibility options as well.
And in addition to that, like as we start really converting all of the legacy UI into building blocks, our new tech, it's all fully data driven now. So we can just, you know, that makes it much easier to just like transform values where we need to inject a scaler if you want to have bigger fonts or lower size fonts, and also colors. It's all data driven, so it makes that much easier.
Mm-hmm. I feel like
it's not static anymore.
I feel like we've been talking about building blocks since 2018. Maybe we have to stop calling it our new just looking at the chat.
What's good about it is we're not talking about building blocks two. We are happy where we're at with this, right?
Yeah. Building blocks itself has grown, is basically what you're saying. Yeah. Building blocks continues to evolve. You continue to add new functionality.
We need to optimize it greatly. There's still a lot of optimization work that we need to do.
That's kind of down to, weirdly, it's like a victim of its own success. This happens a lot with game where we go, we've optimized entities, someone puts 1,000 entities in, so it's running slow. Okay, well, we've made it run twice as quick or whatever. Oh, that's great, we've now put 3,000 entities in. And then within a couple of years, right, it's now 300,000 entities in, because it's a battle. Well, isn't it? Battle's a bit negative, but it's a virtuous circle. We speed things up, you can do more stuff. We speed things up, you can do more stuff. And it's the same with the UI. So we speed building blocks up. We started off with tens of nodes, and now we talk about hundreds of nodes, and we're looking to do thousands of nodes in a millisecond. So yeah, there's lots of optimizations, but doing the optimizations just means we can do more and more cool stuff, and lots of little widgets and stuff, and all moving and animating and stuff like that.
A virtuous circle. I like that. A virtuous circle.
I've been a bit more positive.
Made Pete laugh. Citizen Scott says, forget readability. I just hate blue. That's what Citizen Scott says. All right. So yeah, so it sounds like, I'm not going to sit here and try to sum all of that up, but it sounds like the biggest factor of many factors is the fact that our UI isn't just drawn on top of the game like it is in so many other games. Mm-hmm. It is a fully diegetic in-universe component, because that's what we've chosen to do. We've chosen to do that so that all the environmental effects and everything, the things that seem like a bug are actually a feature in some ways. We still need to account for that stuff and still need to dial that in.
I can't remember the effect, but there's a desaturation effect, right, where everything sort of goes black and white and everything goes a bit hazy. The UI goes black and white with it, because it's in world, right? So at that point, it loses its color. So it's the same thing. Or there's things where you get this extreme post-process effect. I think it's when you're too thirsty, whatever the word is for too thirsty.
Dehydrated,
thank you. Yes. We get this really chromatic aberration, and it affects the UI because it's in the world, you're trying to read your phone and you really need a drink.
Yeah, and as you've seen for the shopping, now we moved the UI to be in world as well, and that just made it for such a big challenge to implement. It is a tough thing to do. I think that's the bottom line, but we are adamant about this is our way, this is how we do the things, and it should feel real, it should feel tangible, and I think that's the bottom line.
Revan Z says, show us some teasers. That's the other show. The other show. We just did a whole thing about all this stuff we're talking about. It was on the other show. Watch the other show. MobiGlass. What other MobiGlass apps can we look forward to? Any hints of integration with something like Spectrum?
So for the MobiGlass, if you've seen the new one anyway, there are some apps that we obviously didn't update. So for the future, we will have that. The comms app will be replaced by something helping you do your org stuff instead, maybe. So that will be playing into a lot of social things. And we'll be updating. Knickknacks will also it will essentially be replaced by a new app coming sometime in the future, but it's going to be a better user experience to keep track of all of your things. Oh, Jared is going to beat me up now.
You said org stuff. What org stuff?
All the secret.
What org stuff, Gabriel?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
That's all we want, man. It's been so long. It was CitizenCon 2013, when we introduced org stuff, it's still not in game.
Well, you heard it here first.
What did I hear? Tell us what we heard.
Orgs. You're gonna have a dedicated app to do all your org communications, and there's a lot of things that we have grand plans for, but I don't want to say more than that at this point.
This isn't the place we're gonna show them. But yes, folks, you've been patient. I know, just a little while longer. I'm not even gonna say a little while longer. Just some point, some indeterminate amount of time longer. All right. Is there a plan to avoid HUD clutter, such as, you know, when all the markers end up overlapping each other and stuff like that?
Yeah, so we are currently looking into a design for how we want to solve this. So there's a lot of different issues at once. And I think the short answer is just, yes, there's a plan. We still have things to figure out. So it's in the future. But we are for sure getting it. And you can already see that we have improved the quantum stuff for 323. Way less quantum markers. You don't get this massive circle of just 100 markers everywhere you look. So that's a start. So we're doing things, but it will get better.
I'm gonna go ahead and ask, what caused that, and why did it take so long to resolve? Like we've had the screen surrounded by quantum markers for what seems like at least half of our playable game time here. Well, what took so long, and what caused it, and how do we fix it?
I think I might have caused it.
Sounds about right.
I might have dropped myself anyway. Yeah, we talked about how show other points of interest. We show other points of interest. It turns out there's a lot of interesting points in the universe. Yeah, it was about filtering, right? So filtering what you want was really tricky. So it just didn't happen for a long time. So because you can't filter by distance, because you obviously want to go to places far away. So yeah, it was an extremely tricky problem to solve again. And it's taken this long to actually get to a usable solution. Like when we talk about the markers, like we've had long discussions about, well, let's merge markers together when they start overlapping. So, well, do you have enough information? You know, if you merge one of your friends with a planet, like, do you get the information about that kind of stuff? Like, yes, it's not, you don't have the information where you just get a blob of overlapping text. That's no good, right? So how do you, you know, do you make them avoid each other? Do you make them like, hey, your friend's here and also there's a planet here. How do you describe that as a bit of UI? It's all deeply tricky problems to solve in a sort of systemic way. Everything needs to be systemic. We can't just say, oh, right, here's just a rule set, because the rule set is endlessly complicated because we have an endlessly complicated game.
Yeah. No, you hit it right there. That's actually, you've said the thing I've been, I didn't know what I was waiting to hear, but you said it. The systemic solutions are what take so long. Like, it would be easy enough to go in there and stick a proverbial patch on something and just stop it, you know, stop it temporarily. But everybody knows the most permanent solution thing in any video game is a temporary solution. And it would end up just blocking and breaking a bunch of things down the line. It's, you know, we always look for these broader systemic solutions that can keep solving these problems as we add new things.
And when we don't, we always get tripped up. Like if we sort of cheat, like saying, oh, well, let's just, you know, and come up with some budgie rule, right? We always get tripped up by it because something else comes along. And again, when I've worked on more traditional video games, let's say driving games, like you would only like draw away. If you were going to draw the world, you only have to draw enough of the world away from the track. Whereas in Star Citizen, you can go anywhere and all these things interact with each other in a systemic way. You have to find a solution that works correctly all the time. And yeah, we've really made a challenge for ourselves to do
that. Yeah. But we are worth it.
Love it though.
I think if you ask the same question about other things, why it's been there and taking so long, and it's been there for years, it's because it's an old system. We don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. You know, it's a waste of time.
Clash.
because we have this new system that we're working on, and all the focus ideally should be directed towards that. We're in the middle of development.
And for this question specifically, like the marker system has now been reworked. We have a new marker system, so it's no longer in Flash. We can actually start looking into this. We now know exactly how things are done, and we have good. We have our best men at it.
The bearded blink in chat says search bars and scrollable chat. Anything, search bars and scrollable chat?
Scrollable chat, for sure. That's a thing. That's in 3.23, as far as I'm aware. Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but yeah. Okay. And search bars in general, for most new designs, we're looking at adding search functionality. Emily, I don't know, you did some stuff for the star map.
Yeah, the star map has search, obviously.
Cool.
I mean, I know the chat was we basically just reskinned the chat, but I think the long-term plan is to overhaul that system.
The chat has some changes. I think there's some changes to the chat. I worked on like a very early version of it to have like different tabs. I assume that.
Yeah. The new chat is very nice to use. I think people are going to be very happy with that, but it will also be improved down the line.
The content of the chat notwithstanding.
Yeah, exactly. That's up to you people.
Arc VR says FPS Compass needs help. Let's talk to about our next question. The new latitude, longitude, altitude readout in the map is amazing. Although altitude is given as a distance from the center of the planet, and latitudes are inverted from the North Pole at the bottom, the compass is pointing towards a point at the equator, not to any of the poles. Is this an intentional choice to confuse us, or is the North Pole merely on a temporary summer vacation?
Sounds like our job is done there, right?
No? I think even the question explains the complexity.
Yeah. So we do have a new design for this stuff, and it's been simmering in the background, but it's not been the top priority thing when we're looking at bringing all these new cool features. Like, obviously, we now do have the compass strip on the HUD and everything, but there's still tuning to do, and yes, all of those things are the goal. That's the end goal. Like, we have decisions have been made on how this should be implemented, but they have not been.
We're not just supposed to have a beautiful mind to figure this thing out.
Well, so far, but not forever.
Okay. Why does the circular quick interact menu, I think it's pipe is, why does the circular quick interact menu look so different to all the other UI elements?
We didn't have time. I think that's the bottom line.
Isn't this because it's not effectively in-world, right?
Well, so I also think it's that we didn't have time.
It's in your head.
Yeah.
Not your head.
It is in your head, but it didn't. We do have a new restyled version of it.
Yeah.
So I think my suspicion is that since we do have the style mock-up, hopefully we'll get that style in-game. It should fit with the other UI.
But you do make a good point. It is, we just got done talking about all of these diegetic in-universe elements, but the personal interaction system is not. That is actually a sci-fi visualization of a choice matrix in your head. So, like, I suppose it should look different.
Yeah, but makes sense. Maybe it doesn't have a brand, at least. My mind is branded by ages.
Oh, now I'm thinking. All right. Are there plans to make the UI UX of the cockpit view be as good as the external Starship view?
So, this is someone being a bit funny, I think. The external Starship view has no UI at all.
I was gonna say.
It's very... That's it. But I don't think there's a plan to do that. We won't go that far. But we are working on the HUD experience for ships, for sure. That's a big one. And it's going to be cleaner. And we're going to add more options for people to turn off things that they don't want to bother them when they're flying around. Also, just looking at the new flight mode that we're getting in 3.23, it's a very clean experience. It's very nice to just fly around in flight mode and enjoy that. So that's not quantum, because then you get the marker still. less markers than before, but then you can go into flight and just do the thing. It's clean. It's nice.
I'm glad you figured it out. I was sitting there, I'm like, there is no UI in the thing. What is he talking about? and Gabriel's like, he's trolling. Or she, I don't know.
So I was thinking the other way around, which is, can you see the UI from outside the ships? Which we're also...
No. We are.
Oh,
we?
Yeah.
It's not diegetic.
No. As in, you can see through the cockpit and see if someone's flying a ship and you're like EVAing behind them, you can see their UI, right?
Oh, like that thing.
Yeah.
Because
that's like being on the bridge of a ship, right? You can walk around and see what people are doing on their various consoles and stuff. So you could EVA and like
take a sneak peek.
Check out what you're doing.
Yeah. Like, what you're doing there on your Mobi glass.
Yeah.
I see you writing those messages on your Mobi.
Okay, we got time for a few more questions. Will planets in the star map be an actual render from the real ones, as in zoom in on any location and be able to some degree, see the terrain as it is on the real planet?
Yes, this is something that I really want to do. And it's basically we should have like a planet view. You know, I think I would, and it's basically like almost like Google Earth. You can scroll in and see any portion of the terrain. But you might not see all of the like things that you've discovered, right? Like off the bat, you can see the base terrain, but like as you find things, derelicts and caves and mining resources and things like that, then they'll start showing up kind of along with that and integrated into that map. And it's also probably also going to tie into the landing stuff as well. So, you know, you want to be able to see terrain as well. So we got to make that work with the map system.
Okay. The current animation for opening the Mobi glass is rather slow. I was trying to think of the whole thing. Rather, now that we have great things like interior maps, is there a potential to quickly check Mobi where you are instead of having to wait for your character to raise their arm, push the button, have it pop, and such? Has there been any thought or consideration about speeding that process up? We've got the new Mobi glass, but I think, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, that animation has been there for...
Yeah, it's a really old animation. We've updated the UI, but we need to also update the animation at some point. It's probably something that we're going to be in discussion with the technical animators about, like how exactly that should work. We probably want like a minimum time spec. So like, you know, make it look good as long as it's under X seconds. So it should be pretty quick, but we just need to update that because it's just basically like this. Right. So it's got to feel more organic. My whole thing is like, he's got to make it feel diegetic in the world and grounded in the world. And you might as well just have put it in 2D at that point. Yeah. So that animation needs to be updated, but it's going to require some work from the coordination with some other teams to do that.
Yeah, it's very, yes, Papa Zuzu in chat says it's very Pip-Boy like. No, but we have phones today that have gesture controls and stuff like the, you know, the question, I think the first question, there it is, you know, when you pull it up, would you actually have to hit a button or can it tell like, hey, I'm doing this, you know, I'm not a shield maiden, you know, I'm trying to get my mobile that, so could it just pop up? You know, with that, does it need to have the push? Those questions are probably, you know, to be discussed and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think facial recognition, that's not going to exist in 900 years in the future. That wouldn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. There's probably room to speed that up. But we're not making promises that we're going to speed up. He's saying we're going to look into it and it probably is due for some review. All right. I don't know why I switched back to you. Anyway, switch back to me. Why does pathfinding not work between several rooms or even several planets?
So this is actually one of the things that I fixed recently. You couldn't route between zones. I had it working initially, but it turned out that it didn't work on a server environment because, again, things aren't streamed in and those entities that I need, those transit entities, don't necessarily exist. So we do have a temporary solution for that. So it should work so long as those zones that you need to route between are streamed in, but there's a longer term plan to make that work totally regardless and much more reliably. I think they're doing a transit refactor.
Yeah.
So there's some dependencies as well on some systems as well. So it is the routing in the last couple of months has gotten a lot more robust. So it's a lot more reliable, but there's still quite a ways to go. And I'm at the point where I'm kind of starting to depend on some other systems, and I got to wait until they're further along, and then that's going to benefit the map because it uses AI. And then if that doesn't find a path, then it's got to use transit. So those are two different sort of systems that are being developed, at least for the interior map. I don't know if you can comment on the star map routing. But.
Yeah, I mean, the star map routing, I know we want to refactor that as well, because there are some issues at the moment, obviously, because you set a route and then you go there and it's moved since then, so it blocks things, and that gets really frustrating. So we obviously need to look into ways to handle that in the future, so that whenever you go anywhere, your route always exists and you can always do it, and you don't have to reset it and all of this. So yeah, there's a lot of work still to be done on that.
But when it comes specifically to this, it's also a bit of design, right? It's a decision was made that you can route from your ship because it's the hardware in the ship doing the routing. But from seeing feedback, discussions have been started, it's starting to... Yeah, we'll see what happens in the future with this one. Might be something that we want to implement where people can do it from the surfaces of planets so on.
I think the main reason it's in the ship at the moment is because the system is tied to checking whether you have enough fuel, right? And if you don't have that ship available, it doesn't know whether you have that fuel. So we need to account for that and consider that if we're going to allow you to do that from just standing anywhere.
And for the folks in the chat that are picking up on transit refactor, it's not anything super sexy or amazing. Just consider that when server meshing and you have to be able to divide all these areas into different servers, and that includes sometimes landing zones if you guys all decide to go to one and stuff, and the trains need to work across servers. It's just some code stuff. They glom onto everything. They got them to say about transit refactor. It's like... just some underlying tech stuff.
Just code stuff.
Yep. Will there be a means of locating our ships further out than just 20 kilometers away from us? Either the current ship that we have or former ships, lost ships, wrecks, ships we had to abandon. Just easier way to find our litter, I suppose, what they're asking.
Yeah, so what happens now is really that the ship will stream out when you don't see it, when it's behind something, maybe it's just too far away. Different situations will stream it out anyway, and then it gets harder to find. I'm not sure how the data is stored and so on, but I think that's we could store that position that the ship had when you left it, but obviously then someone could take it and you wouldn't know because it's streamed out on your end. So the bottom line is, in the future, this is something that we would want, because with a lot of changes that we're getting for future patches, it's going to make sense to keep track of more of these things. So yeah, but currently it's a short distance thing, but you can do it. You do have it now on the Mobi. You locate your ship
We got time for just two more questions here. First one's about widescreen, ultra widescreen. Weird aspect ratios. That's obviously, it's no secret that the Star Citizen community tend to be early adopters of a lot of different tech, VR and stuff like that. So there's a lot of folks who have super insano wide monitors that wrap around them and stuff. What can you tell them about any support, any work being done to help alleviate some of the weirdness that happens when they have these super weird monitors?
I suppose the most straightforward answer is the slider, which goes from the standard 16:9 aspect ratio that you'd get on one regular monitor, and then you can slide it to whatever aspect ratio you're running at. So if you've got three monitors, you're going to be 48:9 effectively, right? So if you've got the corner pieces like the interior map and the thing in the top right and the health bar, you could effectively put them right to the corners of monitor one and monitor three and be like this all the time. But it's on a slider. So you can choose somewhere between 16 by 9 and have it like on your center monitor if you've got a 16 by 9 monitor, and then move it all the way out to however many monitors you have. Or if you've got like a 21 by 9, it's probably just going to be a small change, but it's user defined, that thing.
Yeah, and that's in already.
That's in already, yeah.
So
okay. The last question I want to add is, this is one of those forever questions. I'm looking at the list here, and there's at least three I'm looking at that are all the same thing here. Customizability. It's we talked about, you know, readability issues. We talked about accessibility issues. We talked about the one guy who just didn't like blue. what about the ability to, I don't want my mini map up there. I want my mini map over there. How our answer to this has changed over the years. I've been here long enough and followed the project even before that to know that our answer has changed as different regimes have come and as different schools of thought have come, as we've learned more about how diegetic we want to make things, which limits certain options. So I'd like to get the answer today, or today's version of this answer. And it's only today's version, you know, keeping in mind that we are a game that is continuously evolving, continuously in development stuff, and the answer may change later on. But what's our thoughts today about the possibility of customization, being able to move these widgets wherever we want and stuff?
So before Gabrielle replies, I'll just sort of give you my opinion, which is this is sort of our first drop of, well, obviously we're going to do the vehicles as well, but we've got the first drop of the new visor and lens layouts. And what we want to do is make that as good as possible for everyone as much as possible, right? So in an ideal world, you'd want nobody to customize it because it's perfect. But we don't live in an ideal world. So, you know, we're open to design decisions from there, I suppose. But that ideally we get to a position where the design's good for absolute majority of cases, and it's not like people going, I just hate this thing, I want to turn off the interior map, or I want to turn off my health bar or whatever. If the health bar is not as intrusive, or health bar, I'm just paraphrasing, but you have a thing that just comes on and just notifies you something and goes off, then maybe it's not so intrusive that you going, I must turn this thing off. If we get as much right, then you sort of reduce the need for that much customization.
Yeah.
But presumably the customization question is still open-ended.
Yeah, I guess to a degree, right? Because I fully agree. Like, we are working on this UI actively. This is always improving and we are making it as good as we can. But bottom line is, it's always nice with customizability. And I think that would be, again, for the far-flung future, really, we need to make sure that we have all the UI at its best. And then we can start looking into, okay, now it's worth giving people the power, because we've done our best now, and let's allow them, and also let's allow ourselves to take the time to look into something like this, because it's also...
Which is equal on this sort of accessibility options as well. If you get it right, then hopefully a lot of the accessibility issues are not as strong, but we will have all these accessibility options for changing the text height and stuff, but it takes you away from, you know, the best version, but you might make it more usable for certain individuals.
But there's
certain aspects, like, you know, turning the minimap on or off, like people, you know, you want to allow for that, because maybe you don't want to see the map all the time. You want to use the signs. You kind of want to play more of, like, you want to let yourself discover the environment without tools. It's kind of like letting go of technology in a way, like going off in a forest or something. But having that there, at least like initially, that allows us to kind of gather a lot of the testing, like, is it going to break on a specific machine or a setup? And so we can gather more data initially, and then, you know, we could figure out maybe like a hardcore mode for the HUD, like where you don't have certain things. It's just wipe everything away.
Yeah, but turning things off is certainly something that's going to be easy.
I feel like I would want to play under that mode sometimes.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to turn the minimap on off than it was to write it in the first place.
Yeah. All right, well, folks, that's it. You survived. You did another Star Citizen Live. Thank you so much for taking your time to be here at the end of the week and talk to us and answer folks' questions. Hold on, we're going to do one more. Hi, look at that. I'm just playing. Ooh, ooh, ooh. We're just two little. Hi. Oh, look, I'm on two places. I'm just going to leave it here because I'm just. What am I doing? Oh, I'm ending the show. I looked over there. The person usually tells me what I'm doing. They're not there. So, yeah, that's it. That's this week's show. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for watching. If you haven't, check out yesterday's ISC. It was a great look at some of the new Arena Commander features that are also coming their way in the upcoming Alpha 323. Next week's shows are patch dependent. Next week's shows are will be one thing or it'll be another thing, depending on if 323 goes to the live or not. So keep your eye on the robertspaceindustries.com website to learn more about that, about any announcements or whatever for that. For this week's show, thank you to thank you to Bone, to Gabriel, to Emily, to Zane for taking the time to be here on the show. Thank you to Pete for changing my batteries out in the middle of the show. We knew we were going to get Pete on the show at some point. Today was the day. And then, of course, thank you guys for watching us and keep coming back and keep supporting us and stuff. And I don't know, I'm button crazy now here. Watch this, hold on. Can I do Bone? Let me see if I can do Bone's head on my, there we go. No. Okay, no. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye.
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 They're never going to let me do this again.